talk radio and certain guys. So I guess that is the Leander Slingshot, who's a Norwegian who, at the bright old age of 8 years old, tried out for a Disney tryout and ended up being one of the Disney kids.
Wow.
Because she sings like this. So, great success for her, and she is still in school and doing just great, and that is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, is going back to school and what do you need to do to prepare for that? And you might not be, a rich man's son or something of that nature, but you've got to go back to school. And there's a lot of things that you have to think about, both from a parent standpoint and from a student standpoint. And so we're going to try to help you prepare for that, save a little money, and also give you some tips today. And welcome, Todd.
Welcome, Rick. So the boys are back, as they say. Although we're not going back to school today.
No.
We're here at the Cornerstone Credit Union League building. Mm-hmm. So Rick from Cornerstone Credit Union League. I'm from Navicor Solutions, and we are glad to be with you. If you want to join us, you can always dial into the show at
646-929-1020.
Well, and next time in harmony. Now, remember, you can press 1, and that'll put you up in the queue, and Rick can throw you up on the air. He's not going to throw up on you on the air, though. That's a different show that we do that. Mm-hmm. So, no, but we love to talk about your money, your manners, what you're facing, and it's funny, Rick. Here we are. It's a Tuesday. We just had here in Texas our tax-free weekend. We aimed it back to school. We just had it this past weekend, and I toured around. Went to a couple of malls. I went to the outlets in Allen as well, and people love tax-free weekend. Wow, and I'll tell you,
was it crowded?
I'll tell you, I saw plenty of people without their kids too. So I know that that the state does this to sync up with back to school, but obviously it's a great way of saying, well, get what you need, and it's a little percentage off. Maybe help stimulate the economy, stimulate spending locally here. So the lots were packed. I must say it was very impressive, and Hopefully, a lot of kids and a lot of families got their back to school stuff, not just at a discount, but they were smart, savvy shoppers, didn't blow too much extra money beyond their needs. But it's always interesting seeing who's out and what's happening. Now it's weird though, because we're still 2 weeks away from the actual start of school here, at least in the Dallas Fort Worth area. So public schools go back on the 24th. And I don't know this because my son has a countdown clock that he every day, Dad, it's 13 more days. And by the way, this is
enjoy while you can.
Rick, this is the first year that I remember that my son has a little bit of reluctance. Both my kids have always, they just love school. And generally they miss it during the summer. And they actually look forward to when school going back, which is exactly what you want to foster in your kids, a love of learning, a love of education. My son's getting ready to start middle school, and he's had questions.
So we're talking from grade school to middle school.
Grade school to middle school, what I used to call junior high, but they're called middle schools here in Texas. And I remember that middle school is beyond the schooling. It's a transitional time for kids. And you start looking at each other in the locker room and saying, what is that?
No.
Why is that there? And
there's a lot of things. And I can understand the anxiety because I saw that in my daughter as well. You know, they get used to the teachers that are in the room plan. So that they understand and know the teachers, and they understand the room plan, and they know where everything is. And they get accustomed to that. And now all of a sudden they move into a brand new building. And there may be the same kids, or maybe a few kids are going to a different middle school. And also, the plan is different. You know, there are different teachers. I remember that anxiety. And there were some tips that were put out not too long ago. And one of the things was to get the kids ready for that is to go with them on the first day and basically walk up to the door with them, or as far as the school will let you, most of them will let you walk them to the classroom. And so you can greet the teacher and meet the teacher, and that kind of breaks the ice between the child and the teacher, is that you have now met the teacher, therefore he or she must be all right. And I did that. A lot of schools have an open house. And it's really good, really good to do that. Now, what I did in the open house was a little bit different. I took a little set of little notes, little note cards, and there were two or three teachers that my daughter had in middle school. It was an art teacher and a band teacher, and then her regular classroom teacher. And in each one of the desks or slot where her musical instrument would be, I left her a note. And that way she felt, well, he really did go, and he saw all these things.
And, so, and it was only weeks later that that your daughter said, it's kind of weird. Several of the kids say they're getting notes from you. I think the principal would like to call you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, all good intentions. Well, it's all good intentions. Well, it's fun that, my son's a little worried about the whole idea of multiple teachers and all that. And, yes, new kids, new students, and specifically up where we live in Collin County, you can rezone year to year where you're with kids 1 year and the next, congratulations, you're at the new school that's one quarter mile away. In Frisco, I think the goal is to have twice as many high schools as there are Starbucks.
It would be nice if they were next door to each other. You drop the kid off and pick up Starbucks.
I was touring somebody through and they had a laugh. I said, all right, I'd like to show you. This is my daughter's high school. And if you go one exit from Independence to Coit, there's another high school. Mm-hmm. And if you go up Independence, one light, there's another high school. And it's like, I've never seen anything like this. Everything is bigger in Texas.
It's growing. You know, the other thing that might be helpful for kids, and this is something, again, that I invented for my daughter because she had so many activities that were going on, not only when we were in school, but then after school and the weekends and those types of things, is that we developed a calendar. And it was, you go out to a office supply store and you buy one of these big calendars that each big page is a month.
Right.
And then what we did is I had her sit down and write down the, make out one for each month because, of course, they're blank. So she had to make one out for each month. And then for the school calendar, because we already had the school calendar, go through and mark off when the days were for holidays, such as the winter holiday or teacher day or whatever it might be, and basically build a calendar for the entire school year. Then go back and put down all of the activities that she does after school and on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So those are all calendared. And then we used that during the school year. Now, she was prepared when she first walked into the school because she pretty much knew when things were going to happen during the school year, that she was going to go back for 3 days, then there was going to be Labor Day, then Tuesday they would be back for 4 days, and then the next week they'd be back for five. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of the routine. But the other nice thing about it was is that she was able to then, on the first day, they give the curriculum, especially in middle school. They'll say, okay, you know, these are the things you're going to learn, and this is when your tests are going to be, and this is when the open house will be. And she wrote all that down on the calendar as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she got well acclimated very quickly in the school. And I think it helps for anybody that's in middle school or high school or senior high or college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in college I had a calendar as to, you know, when were my morning classes and when were my afternoon classes, my Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes, my Tuesday, Thursdays, my labs.
Yeah.
So I knew where I was going to be.
Yeah, it's funny. My daughter put together one of those calendars, not for herself, but for me, actually. As Rick almost spit coffee all over the computer. But since Dad is responsible for doing the morning drive, the morning pickup for both kids, but she wanted me to know I also do the late pickup, and I say late pickup, Friday night football games for band and late night band practice.
That's right. That's a difference from middle school and high school, from grade school, isn't it?
Yep. But now that I've got the two kids, one in high school, one in middle school, maybe a little bit more conflict as far as who's got what. And now both kids have full-on after school activities. Because my daughter's been, I think this is the third week now that the band has been doing basically all day rehearsals. So it's like the training camps for football. You think of the NFL, your college, is a band, No, you're pretty much spending all of August getting ready for the first game so you can the band can play. But anyway, so organizing all that, she's laid out her games, she's laid out her performances. Then there's an overlay of Josh's Taekwondo. So it's like, all right, when are you going to be able to do this, 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 this? I don't think it was for them. I think it was for their dad. They said, all right, how can we make sure you're present at as many of these functions as possible? And I thought, how do I get sleep and still attend as many of the functions as possible? But
I certainly can understand that, because I remember talking to some kids down at the church, and I was asking them, when does college start? Because they were going off to college, and they said, well, it doesn't start until right after Labor Day. However, this was in July. We're leaving at the beginning of August. They said, when you're getting ready to moving into your dorm room and finding a job? Oh, no, band.
Right.
The band practice starts because you have to get all the formations down and what you're going to do prior to going out on the field. So you're not going to make yourself look funny at halftime.
Right.
And they start a month before school starts, and it's like going into basic training.
Yes. Yes. My daughter, not that she cherishes the August experience, especially here in the 110-degree days.
Yeah.
But I tell you, they rip her into shape. Mm-hmm. Wow. It is like a boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And part of their day, it's physical training. It's like PE, so that they can do all this and do it all in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's there's all of that. And so I got through the weekend. I did some shopping. Helping somebody get their first week of a new job, some work clothes, and I thought, I did not do any back-to-school shopping with my kids. Now, their mom took them out in the last week or so, but it hit me that we still have to do the supplies together, and generally it's something that I do, A, because I'm a financial guru, B, because I like to do that, and it's... Some people hate.
You might pick up a set of colored pencils for yourself.
Yes. Guilty as charged. So this is a funny story. So last night I was in Plano at Bob's Steak and Chop House there on Legacy, and I love going in at dinner time. You can see, by the way, for the people that know, probably one of the finest steak places in all of Texas. Just great place. But lots of business people that are there. Lots of business happens there. And I laugh because I like to people watch. So I'm sitting in a booth, and a group of people get to the table in directly in front of us. So I'm not specifically staring at them, but a gentleman, probably 55, 60 years old, walks in, Trapper Keeper. Now, I honestly did not know that the brand Trapper Keeper was still there. I remember using them when I was in school 30, 35 years ago. And I literally laughed out loud, and I just thought, is that his from the 60s and 70s, or do they still sell actual Trapper Keepers? And but I did a double take, and I thought, well, it's back to school for him as well. So anyway, that was a funny aside. We laughed jerkily, but anyway, so I like doing that with my kids, and it's not just because I like school supplies, but I like using the time of back to school is a great time to give your kids a money lesson. You know, and I've said this year after year, and I should never get old, but too often I think parents look at this as, oh no, I've got to get the stuff, and where can I get it, and what if it sells out? You know, because Lord knows there's not another Walmart a mile away.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is the only one that has the stuff.
If we don't find it here, it's like Christmas shopping. If we don't find it here, it's going to be a really bad holiday. And
it doesn't exist.
And if we don't find the school supplies on the list at this stop, there's a good chance my child will flunk out, and they will become homeless.
Yeah.
Anyway, so some parents dread it.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say, if you are one of the parents that wait until the day before, you're that Saturday or Sunday where school starts, then shame on you, and you have whatever horrific lines you have coming to you. But seriously, if you don't wait, I like it because I give my kids, we go through the list, but then we try to rough out the budget of, well, what does all this stuff cost?
Mm-hmm.
Some schools now say you don't even have to go out and do the school supply shopping, mm-hmm. they say, we'll purchase it for you. Here's the cost.
They do. And the PTAs run it, which I always thought, you know, at first, I liked going out to the stores and getting the stuff.
Yeah.
But then again, I thought, well, you know, if the PTAs get a bump off of this, mm-hmm. I'll buy it through the PTA, and I'll let them have their bump so that they need that.
Now, I've seen there's been a different trend, which takes a little bit of the fun away, but I remember last year for the elementary school, they said, please don't personalize the things. You're getting the supplies, and they're all pooled together and distributed.
Yes.
So, you know, so they don't want Josh to have Chicago Cubs pencils that he's writing with.
Mm-hmm.
They want yellow ones with the number 2 there, and they'll pool them together and distribute as necessary. We don't want Josh to have the 64 Crayola pack and Susie to have the 32 and then some other child to have 16 colors.
You don't want to have a fight over red beige.
Right. And who doesn't fight over red beige?
I have the 64 box, but not the 32.
Exactly. So, and I'm sure they're concerned about the haves and have-nots, mm-hmm. especially in certain districts where there's where maybe some people have a lot of money. I don't look at saying, well, don't they have the Trapper Keeper rather than standard red, yellow, blue, and green folders?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But that took a little fun out of it, because then you give your kids choices of saying, well, are you going to pay an extra dollar to have Darth Vader and Yoda folders,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to get the really standard, semi-ugly, you know, just colored folders?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get, you know, colored pens, or are you going to get standard black and blue? You know, those were choices I always relished. I loved the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great game where you can say, well, these pens are $3, these pens are $6, and depending on how you prioritize, that money could go back to you at the end, or you could reallocate that toward another part of your back-to-school budget, and maybe that's toward some clothes, or maybe you're going to get through this back-to-school super cheap, and you can save the money, or you can spend it, or, you know, do whatever else. So I like the budgeting properties of that. So it's less fun than, like, it's $23.75 and you can just make that out to the PTA and your school supply shop and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if only that's the only stuff, that it was the supplies. Let's face it. And you know, as you raised your daughter, Alex, who, as I understand it, is a bit of a clothes horse now. Because she models clothes for a living, right? I mean,
yes.
Is that a fair statement?
I think she collects them
as
well.
So I assume that as you were taking your teenage daughter out, as she's in middle school and high school, beyond school supplies, it's getting the fashion and the look and how mm-hmm. to fit in or to look cool, right?
Yeah, it really was. And here's, you know, I was relating it to my experience, and in my experience and her experience were completely different. Now, my experience was in the beginning of August, Mom would always do this routine. The first thing that she would do is she would go into my older brother's closet and she would clean the entire thing out. She cleaned out the closet and she cleaned out all of his drawers in his dresser. And then she would put back what was still good and he could wear.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stuff that he couldn't wear was then put into my closet, which was cleaned out, and all of that stuff was pretty much worn at that time because mm-hmm. it was the hand-me-down from my older brother.
Right.
Which meant that my older brother, when school started, always got new clothes, and my younger brother, when school started, always got new clothes, and I always got my older brother's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it worked. Little kids, that's just what happens. But that way, she saved a whole lot of money. You know, she just transferred from one closet to the next,
mm-hmm.
And then figured out what she had to put back, and that's all she bought.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't going out and buying all kinds of new outfits. Now, when you have a daughter, you pretty much take everything out and then buy a whole bunch of stuff new. Because one, she's grown out of it,
yeah.
And that was the thing that I learned very early on, and it took me a few years. It was when she was in about third or fourth grade that I finally figured out that kids sprout like weeds,
yeah.
Especially as they get into middle school and they and through the puberty years, all of a sudden, boom, you know, they're 7 feet tall, and all of the clothes that they had no longer are wearable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do is only buy just a few things at the beginning of the school year that she needed to get through a week, and then I would launder them on the weekend. But over time, we would add to it, because you get to near the end of the year, even the middle of the year for some middle school boys, and all of a sudden, those really long pants are high water.
Yes.
It's just incredible how fast they grow.
You know, the one thing that's different from my experience growing up versus my kids here in Texas, I grew up in Chicago and also in Columbus, Ohio, but we've had seasons. It was not 110 during the day and 100 at night, but you actually had cold times. So you would buy the summer, you know, the short sleeve and the shorts, and then there'd be the fall, you know, in winter where you would have long sleeves, you know, and you would buy sweaters. Not so much here in Texas. You can pretty much get through with what you buy in August and September. It's probably just fine in January.
I have one sweater I wear maybe two times a year.
Oh, my gosh. I have about 8 sweaters and maybe 1 month a year, you know, and this year we had some atypical Texas weather where we had several cold fronts come through. I was like, I'm wearing these sweaters as often as possible just to get it in.
I'm going to rub the desktop with my elbows just to wear this thing out.
I just want to shock people by rubbing my sweater and walking with my sock toes on the floor, and I'll generate electricity, because that doesn't happen. So that's a little different. So my folks would kind of buy for me in phases, because they'd say, well, let's get the early fall, you know, late summer stuff, you may be good. And then it's October, and now we're going to get you, oh, Lord, they got me Garanimals, and they got me the mix and match, the pants and tops, which, I don't think I've made my parents suffer enough for dressing me on those things. But, I've got evidence that they dressed me like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my sophomore year in high school, I decided to reclaim my wardrobe as my own. But so there's a couple different times of year when you buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not as critical here in Texas because it's hot. It gets cooler, but it's not so much. We need to go toward the winter clothes. So, but you're right. My daughter, just as your daughter, my daughter is now 15,
mm-hmm.
sophomore in high school, and. I was shocked when we said we need to buy her new clothes. I said, we just got her new stuff, and her body is changing in incredible ways. And as a dad, one of those where I do double takes, I say, that's not my girl. Matter of fact, my girl just got her her learner's permit last week.
Oh, okay.
And that was another shock to the system.
I warned the neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. I'm not taking that. You're right. Their bodies change, and in her case, things are the stuff that even she wore during the middle of the summer are tight across her chest. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I'm like, well, that's a real pain. We got to go buy you new clothes. And I said, let's put this on and see. And I saw Tyler that you're absolutely not wearing that. I will take you out right now. I will take you out yesterday to buy you clothes. Yeah. So there's that. So that's a budgeting process. And I think when parents are reluctant to engage with back to school shopping, some of them just don't like the process of back to school.
Yeah.
But some of them know that this can be the second biggest seasonal expense outside of the holidays.
It's huge. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen. I haven't necessarily seen the studies of average dollar amount spent or expected to be spent this year on back to school, but it's generally it can be in the $500 $600 range.
And while you're talking,
you can go pull it up. I'm sure National Retail Federation will have their studies. But it's very erroneous to think, well, this is a $20 or $30 expense for pencils and tape and scissors and paper and crayons. No. There's back to school, the clothes. The biggest thing that's changed the last 10, 15 years has been the technology. And when you get to a school and they say, well, we're hoping your kids either have an iPad, or an iPhone so that that they can use these software and apps, Or they can use the computers that are in the school, and you're like, this is it's fantastic, it's wonderful. You don't want your kids to, here we just talked about the haves and have nots, you don't want your kids to feel left out academically because they don't have a tool to learn with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I embrace and love the technology that you see in the rooms now. So you've got that. So it's not just school clothes, it's not just school supplies, but technology can be a big thing. Of course, as you just talked about, many of the kids are doing band or football practice right now. So you've got the extracurricular activities, and year after year that will just always become more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have my daughter, this is her fifth year playing an instrument. It's my son's first year playing an instrument.
Mm.
So as he starts sixth grade, middle school, mm-hmm. he is now playing an oboe.
Really?
And even though he has not had his first school yet, mm-hmm. and the middle school, they don't have their band practicing at all, but they said, we need you to get a warm start. Here are the private teachers that we would like you working with this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying, this is your instrument. This is how you play C or B. So Josh has been taking lessons, mm-hmm. and of course getting instrument and accoutrements and you know whatever other supplies. So there's that.
The most patient teacher in middle school has to be the band teacher mm-hmm. to the first year students.
Yes,
because I mean they sound like a squeaking door. That's been sitting rusting on the hinge for eons most of the time.
Hey, gal, what are you playing? I'm playing the drums. This is my percussion.
Yep.
Okay, that was terrific.
Swell. I found some numbers for us.
Okay.
The National Retail Federation says that the people kindergarten through 12th grade will spend somewhere between $630 and $669 a student. And for the kids. And it also says the total spending for back to school, $24.9 billion.
Wow. Well, the economy thanks you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You don't think of back to school as being a business, but you know, it really is. Mm-hmm. It sincerely is. And this is why you obviously want to work with your kids and take advantage of this, maybe as a money lesson, but for the parents that are paying for this, because let's face it, the parents are the ones paying, they've got their own exercise to do. And just as we would say you should be saving up during the course of the year for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
For many people, they're caught unaware, especially let's say they're transitioning from an elementary to a middle or a middle school to high school. And there's all these activities, the fees, the costs that are going in. And if it's band, if it's football, if it's a trip that's tied to school, they didn't budget for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do to your kids? Say, you know what, I'm really sorry, but you just can't do that this year. But let's change your schedule. Or maybe you can do band next year because we can't afford it. No, you don't do that. You don't want to do that,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to do that. So you absorb it. And a lot of people will start a problematic debt cycle
mm-hmm.
right now because they were ill-prepared for the back to school. And when you think potentially $669 per kid.
Yeah.
So I've got to tell you something. I knew this back to school. We've got some money for irregular spending. I don't have $1,400 put aside for the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very thankful that my parents help with activity stuff, including there's already been a couple hundred dollars in band for band activities that they collect up front.
Mm-hmm.
And there's deposits on instruments and all of that sort of stuff
mm-hmm.
that we don't own. We didn't buy ours. That would be another expense. If you're buying an instrument,
mm-hmm.
you're talking $2,000 $3,000.
Oh,
easy.
Yeah,
oh,
and depending upon what the instrument is. I mean, and the quality of that instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking several thousands and thousands of dollars. I was talking with a young lady who plays the violin very, very well, and she decided that she's actually kind of picking it up as a profession, and she plays in the orchestra at the church.
Oh, wow.
And the reason that I started talking with her is because she came in with a whole different type of violin. It's a it's an electric violin.
Really?
And it has sort of the shape to it, but other than that, it doesn't have that wood body or anything else. But because of the way it's designed, she can turn it into basically any instrument that she would like besides the violin.
Wow.
So if she wants it to be a bass cello, or she wants it to be a cello, or she wants it or she wants it to be a flute or a French horn, it has the ability to change the notes that she's playing into this type of instrument. I looked at the thing. I was absolutely amazed by it. I looked at the price. I said, gosh, that looks like it was fairly expensive. And they went, yeah, it was about $6,000. She's got to be really serious for someone to spend $6,000.
And then they're like, this is why we're splitting up. My husband's going to the confession to talk about how much debt we've accrued, and I'm going to pray right now because otherwise we don't have a prayer of paying the bills.
No.
So this is why you ideally need to plan ahead. But if you were caught unaware, there's a good chance you're financing these. You're probably charging it and carrying it over. And this is a rough time to absorb a couple thousand dollars in expenses because you're just 3 months away from holiday shopping, which is when, you know, if there's one time of year that families do feel it, at least they give themselves permission to spend beyond their means. And even as a nonprofit credit counseling agency at Navicore Solutions, we get it. We're not going to say, no money, looks like no holiday for you. You don't do that, but you understand that there's seasonality to saving, there's seasonality to spending. So it's one thing to say, well, we've got three and a half months left before holidays really kick into high gear, and you've just charged $1,500. Wow. That could really tilt it where it's going to be a disastrous fourth quarter for you. So if you weren't prepared, you didn't have any money put aside, now would be a time, and you can do this yourself. You can sit in and go into your credit union and talk to one of their financial advisors. You can certainly call up Navicore Solutions for a free budget and credit counseling type. But you'd say, how do I eradicate this debt in the next month or two so that it's not there when the holiday stuff comes?
Yes. Yeah.
And Rick, you know, I've always say if you don't have a plan to pay off your holiday bills by the end of March, it's 3 months after the holidays. Generally, you're going to permanize, and yes, that's one of my words, but you're going to permanize that holiday debt as a permanent part of your debt load. Well, likewise, if you don't take care of your back to school, really, no later than the end of October, but for most people, say the end of September, it's just going to be heaped upon with the holiday debt. And it's going to make paying either one of them really feel insurmountable.
And that's why I think, you know, they can balance that out a little bit. I think that, you know, at first you don't have to buy absolutely everything brand new. The first thing that you can do is scrounge around the house and get a lot of the stuff that you are going to need probably is sitting in the house somewhere. There's probably, like in my house, a giant box that holds a whole bunch of crayons in there and colored pencils and all kinds of other things. And all of that can be assembled back together again to use as some of the supplies. In paper for three-ring binders, that I probably have a two-inch stack of that stuff that I use for a notepad now since nobody's in school anymore. But, you know, I have a lot of also spiral-bound notebooks that are sitting there that I use as notepads because every year you went out and bought brand-new ones. Well, you know, you might use a third of it, and two-thirds of it is still sitting there. So you can use some of those things. So I always suggest that people scrounge around and then buy the new stuff as you have to replace the old stuff, depending upon, like, if you pull it all together, of course, that's kind of out of the question because you won't have any of that stuff when you pull it together. But if you are pulling it together, like they do in high school and senior high, go and regather all that stuff up, then figure out what you need to buy. But don't buy it right now. Buy it over time. You don't have to, like I said, you don't have to buy all of the outfits at one time.
Yeah.
You buy some now, and then a little later you buy some more. And the other thing that you can take a look at is the sales. I mean, truly, everybody was out at the stores last weekend in the state of Texas buying school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have been, some of the other ones that don't like being in line were out the week before this past mm-hmm. weekend. There's still a couple of weekends before school starts.
Right.
The merchants are going to want to move that stuff off the shelf because the holidays are coming up, and they want to get the Halloween stuff out on the shelves mm-hmm. and the school supply stuff out of
yep.
the store. And so starting probably next weekend or this coming weekend or maybe Monday, they're going to put all this stuff on sale to move it.
Yep.
And you can save a bunch of money by waiting just a little bit. And then going in and getting the bulk stuff that you know they aren't going to sell out of 3-ring binder paper.
Yeah.
They had tons of that.
You know, Rick, I've always wondered from a retail strategy standpoint how they cope with these back-to-school tax-free weekends.
Mm-hmm.
When I say how they cope with it, when you have a perceived discount weekend, like last weekend,
mm-hmm.
what that does is people are going to say, well, I don't really want to go shopping this weekend, because it would have been better off, and I'll just put it off, or I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of retailers have to say, well, that was a tax-free weekend. We probably need to have a sale as an incentive so they don't feel we're charging them more. And not that it could be the same price, but they're saying,
mm-hmm.
well, now the government gets their cut. You know, we're doing all of the, you know, the tax. So you make it up in a different way. So it feels like,
mm-hmm.
well, you may have missed tax-free weekend, but there's still a lot of savings to be had. And my retail days, my last time I worked in retail was before, what was a common occurrence of doing tax-free
mm-hmm.
weekends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they first started. I'm sure they've been on for a long, long time. But I remember them probably late 90s, at least when I was in Georgia. It was the first time that that the state of Georgia had a tax-free weekend,
mm-hmm.
and they'd seen other states do it, and they said, "Well, we'll try it as a one-time event." And yeah, I'm sure they were terrified. Well, think about all the money that we're going to lose coming in from tax revenue, and the retailers then said, "We're going to do this because you're saving us. This is." You're making it an event to actually come shopping, and
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, that's you want to be good to your corporate citizens as well, and say, well, this, if this helps, well, great. So, I remember the first time, and it almost becomes delirious for people that get really excited about the whole process. So,
yeah.
Now when it comes to your money, if you realize that. This is more than you've got put aside. You have to carry some debt. I'm gonna tell you something that I'm sure some therapists or psychologists may say are counterintuitive, or giving your kids worries. But I was always wanted to be dead honest and upfront with my kids
mm-hmm.
about the cost. And you want them to understand the cost of everything.
Yep.
Matter of fact, if you're going to be a savvy shopper, there's no way to do it other than saying, all right, well, this is what the supplies cost, this is what the clothes cost, this
mm-hmm.
is what your band stuff or your football pads cost.
It's part of teaching.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not be shy at all if you say, and this is how much we're paying for in cash, or we're writing out of a check or on a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on debit cards, you know that, but this is what we're charging on our credit card, and ideally paying off on time and in full. If you're carrying a balance, you sit down and you talk about that with them and say, you know what, we're going to be carrying debt for the next few months because the back to school was really expensive. And this is why we're not going to have quite so many meals out, or we're not going to be going to the movies because it was a higher priority to pay for your football gear.
Yep.
Or to make sure you had your band, your activity stuff covered
mm-hmm.
because that to me was a bigger priority. What you don't do is say, oh, I don't want to give them worries, and let's not talk about it. Let's get them everything, and I'll just cope with it in silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you may not even cope with it. You may just continue to spend, and again, this becomes a horrible debt cycle
yep.
right before the holidays. So use it as a teaching mm-hmm. moment. I mean, you think about it, the whole point of back to school is getting your kids ready to learn.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better real-life education than talking about money And sometimes when you have to make there's consequences and ramifications from your spending choices,
mm-hmm.
let them understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Let them learn now in a safe environment. And when I say safe, because it's not their money.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, they will be 18 or 19, but they'll be on their own for the first time at some point in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they will have never encountered this or that.
Mm-hmm.
They will never have encountered there's too much list at the end of my money, and
yep.
now I need to either increase the money or I decrease the list,
mm-hmm.
and make some of those choices. They may never have the well, I can't afford the high end label jeans, but I can
mm-hmm.
I can get the standard ones, which are getting more and more expensive themselves.
Yep.
You know, you get a pair of Levi jeans or something, and it's $40 at the mall,
mm-hmm.
and that's the cheap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Walmart's got their own brand, you know, or you can get whatever Brett Favre is hawking. Was it Wrangler, right?
Yeah,
But looking at you as a cheesehead, figured you'd know the
mm-hmm.
labels right off the top. But seriously, not knowing the pain which some kids would feel of getting non high-end, you know, labels. It's
mm-hmm.
not, you're not getting Tommy Hilfiger or Polo or
mm-hmm.
Lucky Jeans or whatever the fashion is nowadays. Back when I was in school, I think it was like Jordache and the colors of Benetton. You know, it's like, ooh, you've got the nice clothes. And, you know, but I remember at one point my folks doing that with me, and they said, you can get one pair of these jeans, real
mm-hmm.
expensive label jeans, or we can get you three or four pairs of the others,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I wasn't smart enough to know that you could wear a pair of jeans many times between washes, unless you spill all over it, you know.
Yeah, but you know, Levi's came out with the advisement that you should never wash your jeans.
Yes.
And I'm going, oh yeah, that's going to go over real well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that, you know, and the more worn, the more comfortable, or the fabric gives, and
yeah.
And I get that, and then they're saying, well, the more you wash it, you're damaging our material, and it's like, but what about like body odor
like that? I'll send it back to you, and you can clean them.
Exactly. Before long, we'll have to dry clean our jeans. So,
yeah.
But there's a happy median,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a, you wear your jeans once, and they've got to go into the wash, unless you've done some obvious damage or spillage or something.
Yeah, you're working in the garden. Or
Yeah. If you're just wearing it out to the mall or something,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully you're the way you live, you're like, wow, these are filthy now. So
mm-hmm.
Anyway, I remember making those choices. Actually, the first real tough back to school was the summer I decided I wanted to get Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
may have been because I think we're coming. It's like the 30th anniversary of Air Jordan shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the first year that I was permitted, and yes, they were $120 back then even.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Michael Jordan was just coming into superstardom and becoming, you know, the uber celebrity that he would be. And to me, it was so important. I said, I've got to have Jordans. And my folks said, well, we're not going to get you any other back-to-school clothes. Then you're going to just continue wearing what you have.
Yeah.
And they probably thought...
Very expensive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick, they probably thought, well, that'll snap him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I chose, though. And I chose, to me, that having the shoes, there was something at that time that in my mind that was going to be making me ultimately cool.
Mm-hmm.
That I would walk down the hallway and people would say, oh, he's got Jordans, and suddenly, like, girls would want to go out with me, or, you know, or maybe I'd be invited to play football,
yeah.
even though I was, like, 98 pounds dripping wet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
my parents wouldn't have let me play, because I would have died, you know, they would have thought I was the football, but anyway, we talked money, and my folks said, are you sure, and I said, I was absolutely positive,
mm-hmm.
and I got those. And I didn't get a lot of other stuff. This was not a parental cave-in
mm-hmm.
where they said, well, we'll just get it for them because we want them to have everything. They towed the line. They said, you can't have it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm a firm believer in doing that, because it was a valuable lesson for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it's good. And the other thing that I think people have to look out for, and you mentioned it briefly in the beginning, and that is that it's not just the school supplies and the list that you're going to have to go off of, and it's not just the clothes that you're going to buy that they're going to wear. It is the things that are going to happen during the year that are going to cost money. And as you mentioned, certainly if they are in any kind of school activity, whether it is band or whether it is a sports or whether it is, you know, they're a thespian and they're going to be on a play or they're going to be in a musical or something.
Yep.
There are things that they're going to have to buy or pay in order to do those types of activities. And so people have to budget for that. People have to budget for when they get into middle school and high school and senior high. For example, in high school, my daughter decided that one of the courses that she wanted to take for a natural science course was the one that was taught by the FFA. Well, the FFA, when they teach a natural science course, it means you're going to be doing farming and you're going to raise something. So you're going to raise a steer, or you're going to raise a lamb, you're going to raise chickens, you're going to raise something. Well, you have to buy those. And so they had a price list of going out and buying a calf, or buying a baby lamb, or buying a baby goat, or buying eggs to hatch, which is what my daughter chose.
Really?
Fortunately, she chose. But some of the kids decided, I'm going to raise, you know, big Angus beef, and maybe $500-$600 later, they got their little calf, and every day they were there feeding this thing, and they have to buy the feed, and they have to buy the hay, and, all of a sudden you realize that little FFA natural science course that you could have chosen the other science course and done it all in the classroom is the most expensive course that the school had to offer, because every day, morning and evening, you had to go by the barns and take care of your animal.
Oh, my God. All right. Now, this is where different experience, because I grew up in the city,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there was no ag options. My animal options for science were not of the living kind.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having the lab fee to bring a dead cat home mm-hmm. to dissect over mm-hmm. 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really funny. By the way, when you said FFA, my first thought is, she took an aviation class. And then it clicked in my mind, that's not what you're talking about, that's FFA. So, that's a really cool science class.
Yeah, that was a really cool science class. Now, I took that when I was in middle school, because at the age of 13, I joined the Civil Air Patrol.
Really?
And the Civil Air Patrol is an auxiliary unit of the U.S. Air Force. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. Air Force runs it.
Uh-huh.
And you go out to an Air Force base, and there is typically a major or a lieutenant colonel that runs this program.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like scouts, except what you're going to be learning is aviation.
Yeah.
And you learn aviation and flying aircraft and how to take care of aircraft and how to do search and rescue, because that was the original intent of the Civil Air Patrol, was search and rescue.
Oh, wow. That is incredibly cool.
Yeah.
I've got to say, wow. All right, so we got 10 minutes left on our show. Mm-hmm. I'd say, if you haven't done your back-to-school shopping yet,
mm-hmm.
what I would recommend, sit down with your kids, no matter what age, you know, whether we're talking about a first grader, whether we're talking about a senior in high school. And by the way, we have not even delved into, if we're talking college students, it's a different strata anyway, and there's a good chance some of what you're going to be buying, if it's going to be financed in with the student loans and whatever aid that they're using to pay for room and board tuition. But yes, back to school for college is dramatically different, because there's living expenses, room and board, but then there's the getting a blanket and sheets and pillows for the first time, getting towels, a shower caddy, buying them their toiletries when you're not there.
One of the parents at the church posted the picture of their young son that they just took off to college sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
and said they just moved him into the Tau Kappa Epsilon fraternity house. I'm going, oh boy. You talk about spending money.
Oh yeah, that's and by the way, the budgeting tips that we're giving right now, would be no different from a college student, because what you would do is beyond, they're not going to give you a school list. Here's the crayons.
Yeah. Number two pencils and
I would say you should enter. We should enter in our like our favorite like a rival school and say, well, unless they go to Ohio State.
They still use crayons there.
No, I'm just kidding.
We do that to map out the band formation.
Yeah, they do. But seriously, what you want to do is you want to prioritize with the kids what are most expensive. And you say, you've got limited budget.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's furnishing a dorm room.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Rick, I've told you, my first semester going on 26 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
my first semester in Bloomington, Indiana, at Indiana University, I spent $3,000 on a credit card. That was after everything else was paid for. Everything,
wow.
All the room, board, tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And $3,000 then, you know, we're probably talking like a $9,000 spending spree.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I said, oh, well, I've got access to credit now, and I can furnish my room up and got a big screen TV, which back then was like 32 inches, you know. That was gigantic.
Both directions, wide and deep.
Exactly. Yes, it was. And we got a couch and a futon and we got a speaker system. We got a game system. I think that was the Sega Genesis we bought then. And then the games, which was still very expensive per game. And you start doing that. And then I remember buying clothes on my own. They, oh, good, my mom and dad aren't like with me and
mm-hmm.
tell me what I can and can't buy. And then the football tickets that I didn't expect, you know, and you're like, wow, I want to see IU get pounded by Wisconsin, because that's exactly what would happen. You know, matter of fact, I was just looking on the schedule because I'm going to be in Indiana at the end of September, and I'm missing the Ohio State game. That's not our natural rival. That's my natural rival because I also lived in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
My friends went to Ohio State, and so I kind of hate them with a passion. So I think they're there October 3rd in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, yeah, that'd be so much fun to see the reigning national champions and see if your alma mater can cover the spread, which is probably going to be 45.
Everyone
massively humiliating.
Yes.
Great moments in betting history. With a late field goal, IU closed to 65-17.
Yes.
And they covered the 50-point spread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I spent all that. So what I would say for parents, sit down with your kids and try to anticipate
mm-hmm.
all the things that you know about, and maybe go up to campus with them and help them make those choices the first time.
Yep.
Make sure that they're not opening up additional credit cards on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the Credit Card Act from 5 years ago, most 18-year-olds will need a cosigner. Well, either
yep.
a cosigner or they'll need proof that they've got work and income
mm-hmm.
to open up their first credit card on their own.
Yep.
It can't be just like I did 26 years ago and some pretty girl bat her eyelashes at me and I suddenly had a credit card for a $5,000 limit, even though I didn't work, had no ability to pay whatsoever, because
mm-hmm.
they knew that I had parents. So I guess it was smart marketing.
Yeah.
But let's go back to if it's elementary, junior, or high school, go through the list that the school is giving you, go through the clothes, just like Rick would
mm-hmm.
talk, go through the closets, figure out what their needs are,
mm-hmm.
think about technology. Think about extracurricular activities and band and try to plot out exactly how much everything is going to cost. Not just what you spend in the mall,
yep.
but the checks that you're writing to the mm-hmm. school or to tutors. And this case, both my kids who will be taking private lessons, one for French horn, one for oboe,
mm-hmm.
That's an add-on. It's
mm-hmm.
not even back to school. That's going to be throughout the school year.
Yep.
So budget all this up and talk about it with
mm-hmm.
the kids,
yeah.
share with them so they know based on the weekly French horn lesson, something has to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? Maybe it's one less meal out per week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're going to do a red box rather than go to the movie. But let's subtract something from our budget because we've added it.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think that this does is if this is a wake-up call for people that are listening to the show, And they're going, oh, gosh, I didn't think of all this stuff. Here's another thing that you need to start thinking about if you're taking your kids into kindergarten or first grade. 529.
Yep.
Or some other account that you can start putting money into because in 12 years, this young lad or lass may decide that they want to go off to college. And this is not an inexpensive ordeal by any means. And if you haven't put money aside for it, until now, now's the time, anytime, that they need to really start putting money away for it because it's a real shocker. And the worst thing that kids can do is to go to college for 4 years and come out buried in debt, or their parents come out with the kids buried in debt. And they are co-signers on the thing, and they spend the rest of their life struggling trying to get rid of the debt.
Yeah. And whether it's the kids that are right now owning that $1.2 trillion of student loan debt, if it's the parents that are helping the kids out or they're absorbing some of the loans, there's no better investment you're going to make in your or your kids' future than in their education.
Yeah.
But that said, it still can be a financial noose that prevents you from buying a car, buying a home, getting married, having a family. Some of the major checklist items of your life, you don't want them to be buried and then saying, I've got to wait another 5 or 10 years before I do some of these things. Because it messes with the entire life cycle. So couldn't agree with you more. And I will just tell you right now, I kind of shudder knowing that my daughter is 3 years away from going off to college because we've got a little over $20,000 put aside, which some people would say, that sounds like a lot of money, and I say that doesn't cover the first year.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'll get you through freshman and maybe sophomore year.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But.
Which is both, I guess I should be happy I've got that much, but it's honestly very little for when she was born, what I thought we would have at this point. And who wouldn't want their kids to go to graduate school or everything else? And you know what? We'll help our kids. But my son is starting middle school. He's got a 7-year countdown now, and he's got less money because he's had less time to build that up. So we've got a lot of saving to do, and I want you, our listeners, to do that as well. And whether that's for your kids, whether that's grandkids, and even if you've got a dream of going back to school yourself, it's never too late. And maybe, you know, if you're thinking of a second career. You don't have to go to a $30,000 school. You could start taking classes at your local community college district and finding very affordable as a path toward education and personal development. So it doesn't have to be all another mortgage worth of student loans.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that do it. I was talking with the head of our community college, and she was saying that there were a lot of returning adults. I said, you mean like 40s and 50s or something like that? She says, no, they retire and then they get bored at home, so they come back to school.
Wow.
And I'm going, well, that's interesting. That's exactly what they did. We'll continue talking about this for the next few weeks because, of course, the school hasn't started yet. But when it does, we want to make sure that you're prepared. So tune in next Tuesday on Your Money, Your Matters, and Todd and I will help brief you up. I'm going to go to the next